At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This is turning into one of the craziest stories, I think, of the year. Austin Drummond. Now, it could be crazy because he's crazy, or it could be crazy because maybe he's not crazy, and he has a crazy story about crazy things that he was involved in. Where is the crazy, though? It all starts with a claim so audacious, it sounds like a line ripped out of a crime thriller. He's a man accused of murdering 4 people. Yeah. Says he wasn't a killer, though, at all, but an undercover informant for the FBI. Quite a story. That man is 29-year-old Austin Robert Drummond. And the 4 dead are a mother, her 2 children, and her daughter's young partner in Lake County, Tennessee. And yes, he's the one who dropped the baby off by a home. The heart of the horror is that baby girl, left alive but abandoned in a stranger's yard. And I know the initial report was that it was left on the steps. It was down by the mailbox, which that is even scarier to me, just like people on their phones and there's a baby down by the road. I mean, this could have gone even far more horrible than all the way it already did. This baby sat there crying until someone came to her rescue. Drummond insists the blood on his hands isn't his own doing. He says he was working for the feds, tapped to help expose corruption in Tennessee's prisons, where drugs flow in and out with the help of dirty guards and gang connections. He claims he'd been recruited after his release from prison, that he'd had a handler, that he'd been feeding information on smuggling pipelines and gang leadership. And then, according to him, his cover was blown. And then 4 people ended up dead, and he ran, not because he was guilty, but because he thought the hit was coming for him next. He had plenty of days in the wilderness to conjure up this story. It's the kind of defense that's designed to make people stop and, you know, wonder. I mean, it certainly gives this story another layer of what the F, because truth be told, informants, they do exist. Federal agents do sometimes use people with long rap sheets, men already deep inside gang circles, to collect information. In fact, I'm going to be talking with Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent and former chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, about all of this. I'm actually going to have a conversation with him in the next day or two, and then we'll start putting it out here on the podcast, because he did this sort of thing for a living with the FBI in counterintelligence, in terms of recruiting people, recruiting spies, basically, people to work those sort of roles. And he'll be able to give us a little more insight, I think, on exactly what this is all about and if there's any validity to this guy's story. We'll bring it up with Coffendaffer on Monday as well. The line between criminal and informant can blur in ways that make ordinary people uneasy. And that's what makes his story so seductive. It's just close enough to reality to force the question, could this be true? But then, remember what else he said? That he was somehow directly involved. That cryptic half admission thrown into the mix like a shard of glass in the middle of a sentence. If you're innocent, you don't describe yourself as directly involved. If you're an informant, you don't say, you don't stay vague about the job. The contradictions pile up until the narrative feels less like a revelation and more like a performance. The district attorney in Lake County didn't flinch. Danny Goodman made it clear. Drummond's words are part of the record, yes, because all jailhouse calls are recorded. But the real case here will be tried in court. He didn't dignify the FBI claim with a denial or an endorsement. He simply pointed back to the evidence and stated there's a clear motive, one investigators are confident about, even if it hasn't been released to the public yet. In other words, let Drummond talk. The prosecution believes the facts will do the rest. That's where the accomplices enter the picture. Because Drummond didn't just vanish into the night after the killings and survive on instinct. No, he had help. Prosecutors say three people, Tanika Brown, Dara Sanders, and Giovante Thomas, gave him exactly what he needed to stay ahead of police, phones, clothes, shelter, transportation, the essentials for a fugitive trying to disappear. Each of them is now charged with aiding him after the fact. Each of them has pled not guilty. What hasn't been revealed is whether they believe the story. Did Drummond sit across from them in those chaotic days after the murders and tell them he was an FBI asset on the run, that he couldn't go to the police because his cover had been blown? Did they nod and play along? Did they buy it, or did they know on some level that they weren't helping a whistleblower? They were helping a man accused of wiping out an entire family. That silence, that unanswered gap, may be filled when their cases move forward. For now, we only know the basics. They gave him resources, and he used them to extend his time outside of a cell. What do you guys think so far on this? Let me know in the comment section on YouTube. What do you guys think? Stacy, we'll start with you on this guy.
So first of all, if you are a FBI informant and you're being questioned, you are going to have resources. You are going to have documentation. You are going to have people you can contact within the Bureau to basically confirm everything, you know? This is just absurd. This is a guy, I think, this is just my opinion, he's full of shit.
Is there something wrong with him? Like, is this a man that's on a psychotic break of some sort? Because, I mean, this is real grandiose thinking and real grandiose stories that are coming out of him. After a, and in no way am I trying to say this positively, but a grandiose homicide. I mean, that's a lot of people dead and a baby taken from the scene and then dropped off at somebody's mailbox.
Yeah, the whole thing doesn't add up. His timeline isn't right. He was incredibly vague about things. This is not somebody who is working on a very detailed operation. This is just this is a story. It's a good story.
I wonder, what I'm curious about are other people who've interacted with him in life and how many stories this man has spun. I mean, and how grandiose they are, because usually if you're somebody who's going to spin a story like this, you got a track record of that. And there's people who are like, oh yeah, I remember back in this day when he said this or that. I mean, really just extreme things, but somewhere along the way, someone had to have believed it. Maybe, you know, if you're going to keep going down that road, but I wonder if that maybe, he's only 29. So, I mean, that childhood was not that far off, so it could have been his teen years, just 10 years ago, you know, where he's spinning that stuff and people are believing it. He certainly has a criminal history, and, you know, with that, I'm sure comes a little bit of misinformation.
Well, on some theatrics, you know, it seems like this is somebody who it likes to put on a show, you know, so he got rewarded for that at some point, is what it feels like.
And I wonder if this is an award or another reward for him. I wonder how he's processing this, because, you know, obviously to the rest of us, it's like, well, it looks like you killed four people and left a baby in a mailbox and you got caught. It seems to him he's telling the story. I'm wondering if he believes the story or if this is I'm just that conniving and I come up with stuff type guy and he's making it up, or if we're talking another Lori Vallow-esque type person. We don't know enough about the guy yet, I guess, to know the depth of what he believes, because, I mean, that's quite a story to tell yourself, that this is what you're involved in.
It is. I hesitate a little bit here. I've got a brother. I have two brothers. One of them is a compulsive liar.
Mm-hmm.
The stories he has told, he claims that he used to fly around with Bon Jovi. He claims that he's killed somebody. He mm-hmm. claims that he's registered with the government because his hands are lethal. I mean,
yeah,
I'm laughing because he's just all full of shit. So I'm sorry. I can smell a liar from like this far away. Yeah. I mean, just this guy is so full of crap. There's no way.
I've got a question because I think what I find interesting is people who are talented and creative are often able to make stuff up. I mean, Tony, I think you and I both would agree with that. Stacey, you too, having your background and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where do you cross the line between being creative and making up that much bullshit? Where is that line?
I think it's when you start believing it.
Oh.
You know,
Do they believe it though?
What's that?
Do they really believe it? Do they sit there lying in bed at night going, yeah, this really happened to me. I mean, if you tell yourself something enough, I suppose.
What's spooky about it is, you know, sometimes, you know, you can, if it's something real distant and you're recalling it, you may be able to go and say, oh, yeah, maybe I don't remember it right or this way or that way. If you watch the yogurt shop murders right now, that's how half of those kids were convicted. They brought them back years later and then basically implanted memories by suggesting maybe you saw it this way. Maybe because your brains are not VCRs. They're pulling and reconstructing every single time. And if you add more to an old memory, those are more prone to be believed. But if you're literally believing this quickly, and obviously this crime just occurred not that long ago, and if you're already believing that, that's delusional. That's, you know, there's something else going on there. Or are you just so, or do you have no empathy? Are you kind of sociopathic, psychopathic, and you don't necessarily believe it, but you can go along with it because you have no emotional tie to any of it, and it just doesn't draw you that way.
That's a really good question. I that would be something for our psychologist to talk over.
Yeah, I mean, Siobhan and me, I think we talk about that stuff all the time,
right?
Because it's like half of what goes on in these cases. And it's interesting though too, because when you meet people, I feel like I have a pretty good BS radar. I think maybe sometimes too sensitive, where I'll dismiss something that seems a little bit, I don't know, too out there pretty quickly. And here's an example of it the other way around. So I was in Wichita. This is years ago when I first started working in Wichita on radio. So it's like 2005-ish. I go sit down at a nice higher end bar next to my hotel. It's the night before I'm flying out, and I just want to chill a little bit. And there's nobody else there. It's like a Sunday night. There's this older gentleman down at the end, and he wanted
smoking a cigarette.
No, you couldn't smoke indoors.
I'm just trying to set the scene here.
It was a nice restaurant, super beautiful bar. You know, really, it's like a picture like a Ruth Chris or a Capital Grill or something like that. He just, you know, comes down, starts talking to me, older gentleman, and he's pounding back scotches like left and fucking right, and I'm like, you know, I'll talk, sure. You know, and he starts telling me these grandiose stories of how he just flew Trisha Yearwood out in his plane to go do this and that. And that, and this is pre-Trump era, but he was talking about Trump being his buddy and all this shit. And I'm thinking, this guy is full of shit. I'm like, I'm sitting in Wichita at this, I mean, it's a nice restaurant, but his stories kept going. And it was a lot of name dropping. I mean, a lot of name dropping. So eventually he gets up to go, and he's like, no, if you get this job or whatever, you know, give me a call. It gives me his number. I don't know if the name means anything, but if you look it up, it'll make a lot more sense. I didn't realize who it was until I started talking to my boss at the time. And I was like, this weird old guy. And she's like, is this
him? If you say it's Jeffrey Epstein, I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
No, Phil Ruffin, who is one of Trump's buddies. He owns like the Flamingo and Circus and a good chunk of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
He lives there.
You have his number?
I deleted his number because I thought this is this crazy old drunk man that's talking to me. And yeah. Then I learned, oh, he owns the dog park. He owns this. He owns that. He has a big building downtown that says Ruffin on it. And I had, yep, that's him.
Nice, Todd.
That's him. I think a little bit younger year, I would think now, because I think he's almost in his 90s these days.
He's actually standing in front of a Trump building.
Trump Tower. Yep. Yep. Yeah. They're buddies. And so I, yeah. It's one of those weird stories that you have in life, but it kind of related there to, you know, the sense of trust you have in someone and what they're telling you, it varies from person to person. And I'm sorry, the guy just kind of seemed like he was dropping a lot of names for a guy like him. I don't think you need to drop a lot of names,
no.
But I don't know if the thought it made him like more valid in the conversation with the stranger he's having or what, but I don't know. He was like eight sheets to the wind that day too. Again, this is literally like 20 some years ago.
Anyway. Wow. Interesting.
So, yeah. He's 90 years old now, by the way, just so you know.
He looked 90 back then. Yeah. So he's one of those guys that like you perpetually look old, and I guess so 90, he would have been only 70 back then. Only. Wow.
Well, he looked old. He looked like grandpa.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting how that can work out sometimes. The image of Drummond as an informant starts to crack when you compare it to his past. It's not someone who dipped his toe into trouble and got roped into an undercover gig. This is someone whose life was saturated in violence and control, juvenile arrests for burglary and assault, documented gang affiliation with the Vice Lords, threats made to jurors and witnesses during past cases, disciplinary write-ups in prison for weapons and assaults. And at one point, pictures emerged of him living it up behind bars with contraband food, alcohol, and even gaming consoles. So this was a crafty gentleman, a man who turned a prison sentence into a stage for bravado. This isn't the guy the FBI would hold up as a star informant. It's the guy you expect to see resisting every kind of authority. And then there's the psychological backdrop. A pre-sentencing report from 2015 revealed multiple self-harm attempts. He described trying to hang himself, trigger allergic reactions, even drown himself in a toilet.
Ew.
So there's
that. You don't want to survive that, do you?
Drowning yourself in a toilet?
Yeah. Is that something you want to walk around going, that didn't work out so well?
How do you drown? Is it like if you're passed out, you're throwing up, you pass out, and then you go in the toilet? Would that be how you would drown in the toilet?
Unless you force yourself?
Yeah. I suppose you could. I don't know.
I have never gotten to that point in my life.
They aren't quite the actions of a man with a steady grip on reality.
No.
They're the acts of someone volatile. Just careening between violence against others and violence against himself. If federal authorities did ever touch base with him, there was any grain of truth in the informant claim, it seems impossible they'd entrust him with sensitive undercover work. He was a liability, not an asset. Yeah, the claim keeps coming. He repeats it in interviews, weaving it into his identity as though it's his latest lifeline. Because if even a shred of it turns out to be true, it muddies everything. A jury might hesitate. A defense attorney might find a crack to pry open. And for a man facing the death penalty, doubt is worth its weight in gold. The accomplices are the quieter characters in this story, but their roles are important. They represent the ecosystem around a fugitive. The people who decide in the heat of the moment whether to turn someone in or help them hide. Prosecutors say Brown, Sanders, and Thomas chose the latter. Whether they believe Drummond's tale of being hunted as an informant or whether they simply saw themselves as protecting a friend, the end result is the same. They gave cover to a man accused of killing four people, and now they're facing their own charges, their own hearings, their own long road through the justice system. Meanwhile, the community is left with the wreckage. Four people are dead. A baby survived, but now will grow up carrying the weight of this night the rest of their lives. And hanging all over it is a question of why Drummond was free at all. He was out on bond for allegedly trying to shoot a prison guard. That gets you out on bond.
In what universe?
Here, in good old USA. This is, we would get flagged for it. Left. We would get flagged for it left and right. But I would say, Todd, we should have Brooks and Dunn Only in America on cue at any given moment. Yeah. Because I always like to throw to that, but I also don't like to get flagged by YouTube.
Right.
So I'll just do it. Yeah. Only in America. Because there was another story today I was doing, and I think I threw to that again. Because it was just another moment of, how are we doing this? Oh, yes, it was the story of the missing 7-year-old that's going on right now.
Emmanuel Harrell?
Yeah, that one. And the dad, I mean, he's a convicted child abuser. He's out on bond at the moment. And he's entrusted with taking care of children?
I mean, might as well run a daycare at this point.
Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's just. He has a record that screamed escalation. At the system, burdened and overrun, let him back out. That decision cleared the path, of course, to July 29th. And when you pull all these threads together, Drummond's informant story looks less like a revelation and more like a smokescreen. If the act of a man who has spent his life performing for whatever audience will listen, intimidating jurors, flexing in prison, spinning tails when cornered, now facing the possibility of execution, he's trying the same tactic on the largest stage yet. But the evidence, his history, the timeline of the murders, the support network that helped him hide points to a different direction. Not a man serving the FBI, but a man serving himself. The real tragedy is that his story risks putting focus away from the victims. Adriana, James, Brandon, and Courtney, they're all gone. And lives cut short in violence that didn't need to happen. And the baby they left behind will one day learn the story of that night. And she won't care whether Austin Drummond thought of himself as an informant or a victim of circumstance. She'll only know that her family is gone. And the man accused of destroying it tried to cloak himself in lies. Yeah, this is certainly a man who is going to be very questionable. He's also seeming, I'm going to say, a man that's probably not going to take the plea road out of this either. I think he's going to be taking this all the way to court, getting his public defender, and riding this show. This feels Daybelly in a very different way, in a delusional sort of way. I don't know that this guy is playing with a full deck. I think he's probably a compulsive liar, but I'm going to guess there's some underlying stuff going on here that fuels that fire.
I would hope that's the case, because he's trying to game the system.
Yeah.
You know, I hope there's something wrong with him.
Well, that's what I want. Is he trying to game the system, or is he just this chameleon that just fits into whatever role and he believes it then full-fledged? Either way, it doesn't really make a difference. He's doing what he's doing. The rest of us can see. I'm more fascinated by what is going on in that mind.
You know? I don't know that we want to know.
It's fascinating.
Do we want to know? Sounds like a real sick individual.
It does. We know that there's a connection there. He was, you know, allegedly involved with one of the victims. What made him do what he did? That's probably something that will never make any sense if he did it himself. Because I'm guessing it was just kind of one of those, as he's lived his life, urges that he couldn't turn down. And, you know, running on that emotion, that adrenaline. But hey, bonus points for this story. It's been a while since we've heard an FBI informant.
I'm curious to see what Jennifer Coffendaffer and Robin Dreek have to say about this.
I'm going to guess it ends in two words. Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to guess that's kind of going to be the reaction.
You don't get to claim you're an FBI informant. You got to do the work.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to stand up. But no. I'll be actually, Jennifer just put something out today. And I've been trying to get it down from YouTube, because I should let everyone know this. Jennifer Coffendaffer's podcast is now part of our network, part of the Hidden Killers True Crime Today network. Break the Case. It is out there, and please go search it, press subscribe. And we'll also be bringing you segments from it on our other channels as well, so you can hear it as well. But she's just did a piece on Austin Today, I know, talking about what's going on and this new claim. So we'll post that as well up here on our channels as soon as we get that. But do search for that one, Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. And hit subscribe there. She has some great interviews. Just last week, she had a great one with, who am I thinking of here? Attorney. Big attorney. She's friends with him. Michael Jackson attorney. His daughter was the Diddy attorney.
Avenatti?
No.
You said that with such disdain.
I do.
No. How
would
dare
it be
you?
Avenatti?
Jeez.
I'm more mad at myself because I'm thinking of it. I can picture it.
Okay. That was a good guess.
And it's just completely slipping my mind. I don't know why. Hang on. And as soon as I open the page, it will come to me. It will just hit there. There we go in here.
We need the Jeopardy theme.
Garagos, Mark Garagos.
Oh, okay.
Avenatti. Avenatti was with who? Who is the last one Avenatti was with?
See, part of the Trump team or?
I don't know. He was with somebody.
No,
this is great.
Is it Corey Richens?
No. I need to look this up because it's going to drive me nuts.
There's people screaming right now.
I know. They're screaming it at us. You morons. Why don't you know this?
Because there's too much information that comes through this brain every day that it's just, it don't stick no more.
Got him pulled up here. I just can't. Oh, he's currently incarcerated for felony fraud and extortion.
Oh yeah. Oh, he was
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels. That's him. Yes. That's him. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Cause he's a huge fraud.
I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a huge fraud.
Excellent.
All bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Good speaker, though. He can certainly, there you go. There is a prime example we were talking about earlier. People who can make you think one thing of themselves, and they're really something completely different.
See, so. It wasn't that bad of a suggestion.
Yeah, it was, because he's incarcerated.
Thanks.
Sorry. It didn't warrant the no reaction I gave you, but it still wasn't a good guess.
Why do I come here? Oh my God.
Is it, yeah, Stormy, wasn't he involved with somebody else too for a little while there? It was Storm. Yeah, I don't remember. There was something else.
But. Well, Trump. He was with Trump for a while.
Didn't he try to bring a giant case against Nike or something?
Yes, it wasn't. It wasn't. He was against Trump. Yes, it was Nike.
It was like, but it was all bullshit.
Extorting Nike in a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's extortion. What he went to jail for.
Yeah.
Extorting Nike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Press subscribe wherever you are downloading podcasts or watching us. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us there. Until next time, for Stacey and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.